Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Something happened on a September morning in 2016, a couple of hours before daybreak, just outside Somerville Hospital. It's inconceivable to this day. 34-year-old Laura Levis was having a severe asthma attack. She had walked to the hospital, made her way up a hill to the emergency department, and tried to enter, but the door she went to was locked. She called 911. By the time emergency responders found her, though, she hadn't breathed for more than 6 minutes. She was put on life support for several days and then died.
Her death should never have happened. It was the result of a complete breakdown in our emergency healthcare system and our emergency 911 system.
Peter DeMarco was married to Levis. He was a correspondent for the Boston Globe. He turned from journalism to activism because of the senselessness of Levis's death. For the past 4 years, he's bored his way through the machinery of state politics to help create a new set of regulations for the Department of Public Health. He spoke about them today at the State House. We talked with DeMarco yesterday. He explained the calamity of obstacles his wife faced when she stood in front of the emergency department, unable to breathe, and had to choose between two doors.
One was on the far left, and that was pretty dark. Approximately 100 feet to the right was an entrance that was very brightly lighted. So she approached that doorway, and she could see through glass windows, but there was no one there.
And the door was locked.
The door was locked. Actually, Laura also, I believe, figured out that while the door she was at was locked, this second door, which was dark, that maybe that was a way to get in. In reality, that was the official entrance to the emergency department, even though it had no sign above it. So she began walking toward that door, and her attack overcame her, and she couldn't reach the door.
This is roughly 100 feet from one door to the next.
Yes, just that 100 feet.
And she had to sit down. One of the things that you say, Peter, and this has been a driving force, is that she had 10 bad coin flips that day. So many things that just didn't work in her favor. Beyond her not being able to tell because of a lack of signage, which was the proper emergency room door, what else was there?
There was no one at the security desk to watch the surveillance of her outside the hospital. Her 911 call went to a regional call center. It didn't go directly to the Somerville police. The lights outside where she had sat on the bench were so almost non-existent that when she collapsed, she was in near darkness, which is a reason why she wasn't seen.
When the charge nurse came out and took a look.
Yes. The emergency responders who were called to the scene went to the wrong door, nowhere near where Laura was. Laura's cell phone didn't ping in the correct location, so emergency responders really didn't know exactly where she was. I know all this because there was video surveillance. No one was watching that video surveillance, though, because the hospital's security guards who were on duty that night, both of them, were not at the security desk. They had been called into the emergency department itself.
So some of this is the result, in the case of her cell phone, of the less sophisticated nature of the technology at that point. Some of it may be human error, some of it structural.
Yes. Yeah. It was the perfect storm. Everything went wrong.
So how did you, in your grief, and I know you're still grieving, decide that you could make a difference? And that brings us to today. You were able to get a bill through the legislature that would mandate that the Department of Public Health have new requirements for hospitals. What propelled you? What made you think you could do this as you have?
Well, by complete chance, I'm a journalist, and I was able to write about Laura's story for the Boston Globe, losing Laura. And I wrote that story to make change. I wrote that story so people could learn from what happened to Laura, learn from the mistakes, and never repeat them. After the story came out, it got a lot of publicity. A few weeks went by, though, and that publicity died away, and no one called me to say, I'm going to make changes. The state's going to do something. So after a few weeks, I realized that no matter how compelling a story you can write, it takes a person to make change, not just a story. So I decided to stop being a writer and to start being an advocate for change.
What are the regulations that you were able to come up with that the Department of Public Health has written into the books now?
Hospitals now have until January 1st to comply with more than a dozen new regulations that I think are going to make an incredible difference. No other state's done this. Every hospital in the state got a set of regulations, a complete set of regulations from the Department of Public Health saying, here are the steps you need to take to make your emergency departments safer, easy to find, easy to get inside, and to eliminate as much confusion as possible. So people are going to be seeing changes. At your local hospital in Massachusetts, you're going to start to see new signs go up. You're going to start to see video, audio intercoms at doors, better lighting.
Let me ask you, if there's a hospital, because this is pretty much voluntary on the part of a hospital, if come a year from now, you know, you go by a hospital and see that the lighting hasn't changed, nothing has changed to abide by these regulations, can people do anything about that? Could you do anything about that?
Yes. After January, if you have trouble getting to an emergency department for any reason, number one, you could call the hospital and tell them. I think they'll be a lot more responsive. And you'll be able to call the Department of Public Health and say, I don't believe that Laura's laws, regulations are being followed at the hospital I just went to. So it will be an honor system. But I think hospitals, they've got the message. They don't want anyone to die like Laura. They don't.
I want to say congratulations on getting this far. Can you rest easier now at all?
Well, my hope is that a year after Laura's Law is implemented, the medical community of Massachusetts and the Department of Public Health take a look at what hospitals have done, take stock in what works best, and go back and improve the Laura's Law regulations. I think that's an essential step to this process. I think it's what is really needed to make the law as strong as it can be. Will I rest easy now? I will, of course, never rest easy. I lost my wife. It'll be 7 years since I've lost her come September. 7 years. So I look forward to maybe one day finishing this advocacy work and just thinking about all the good things.
Thank you for telling us about her and about Laura's Law. And well done, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
This afternoon at the Statehouse, Peter DeMarco released the new state regulations designed to ensure residents safe and timely access to hospital emergency care. They're part of Laura's Law, named in memory of his late wife. A Somerville Hospital spokesperson says they've already implemented several changes in compliance with the new rules, including better outdoor lighting and signage that clearly marks all emergency entrances.